And now, live from the Daniel Scappin Studio, deep in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, it's Mike Malloy.
To another episode of the Screaming Mimis with the Malloy Podcast. It is, what is the date? The 12th. Thursday, the 12th of July, 2018. Oh, boy. Time rips by when you're having fun, right? Yeah, I watched the joint hearings today by these subhuman, I won't call them, I won't say they're not human. I certainly have leveled enough nasty words and comments against these devils. But what I saw today, these Republicans who went after Peter Strzok, however you pronounce his name, I think it's Strzok, the level of ugliness, stupidity, and more importantly, the level to which these people, these Republicans, are sinking in order to deliver this country to Vladimir Putin. Now, you think that's a joke. It should be painfully obvious right now that the American Fascist Party, this group of scum that started out as the teabaggers, remember that? The teabaggers. They didn't like the impurity of the Republicans who were crashing and burning our economic system, our social justice system, our criminal justice system. It was going way too slow for the teabag types. So they put together the teabag party. Well, all this bullshit about don't tread on me and their flags and all this other stuff, that was a total front. You know, when you talk about the deep state, I mock that and make fun of it, but there is a deep state involved here in the United States. But it's obviously it's all on the right. What is it that liberals or leftists or democratic socialists or people on the left, what is it that we have tried to keep hidden? Do we have a hidden agenda? The answer is no, we don't. It's always been right out in the open, right up front. When we say we want to preserve a woman's right to privacy, which gives her the right to terminate a pregnancy if she wants to, we state it categorically. When these devils on the right come up for questioning before their confirmation to courts in this country, including the Supreme Court, if that question is asked of them, do you support a woman's right to have an abortion? These lying, squirming bastards will do anything to avoid a direct answer. So, yeah, there's a deep state. You bet your ass there is. And it's run by people like Trump and corporate America and this crazy fucker Alex Jones and Steve Bannon and the scum at the Fox sewer. I mean, yeah, there's a deep state. Wow. But it's the old trick. If you know you're going to be accused of something, you know, when you're 10 years old and you got in the cookie jar. I hate to use that as an example. Who in the hell has a cookie jar anymore? But, you know, at 10 years old, you get in the cookie jar. Gobble, gobble, gobble. And there's crumbs here, right? Crumbs on the table. And your dad comes in and says, what you doing school today? And you say, oh, just use the stuff I didn't get in the cookie jar. What? Yeah, just the usual stuff, but I didn't get in the cookie jar. Billy did that. That's your younger brother. And your dad looks at you and says, I didn't ask you if you got in the cookie jar. But by then it's too late, because your old man, being smarter than you are, knows exactly what you're trying to do. The old look that way while I pick your pocket over here. This is what the American Fascist Party does. This is what they've been doing for 35 years. And it's not going to stop. As long as there is an American Fascist Party, a.k.a. Republicans, sure. As long as there's an American Fascist Party, this shit will continue. And what happened today is just further proof of how over the top they've become. So there's Peter Strzok, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. I thought it was Sturzik, but ooh, all of a sudden everything got dark. oh, I see. Hold on a minute, would you? Better? Better. Peter Strzok. We'll say Strzok, FBI agent. So the House Judiciary Committee, along with the, what was the other one? The Government Reform Committee, House Government Reform Committees. Yeah, they ought to reform themselves out of goddamn existence. They decided to hold a joint session under the control of this crazy, crazy man. What's his name? Who is the chairman? I mean, I have seen some out of control fascists before. But this guy, who was it? Well, you probably saw it, so you know who I'm talking about. But the chairman of the committee was such a shithead. For example, if you watched any of it, you saw these these fascists giving Peter Strzok just old Billy hell, and Peter Strzok giving it right back, especially to that evil little child molesting cover upper. Jim Jordan from Ohio, that miserable son of a bitch. What is wrong with him? I don't think I have ever seen any member of Congress who was so fucked up as Jim Jordan. He lies constantly, especially about the scandal now that probably is going to bring him down. One can hope. And that was his cover up of the sexual harassment that was perpetrated within the Ohio State University wrestling team. Them again. Anyway, this double committee of morons on the fascist side immediately turned this into a shouting match before the goddamn thing even got started. A shouting match over the rules. There are no rules anymore. There are no rules. The only rules in the House and or the Senate are the rules that the fascist party leadership makes up as they go along. The Democrats are still laboring under the misperception that the rules that have been in place through agreements among the two or between the two parties for a century or agreements written into the Federalist Papers or someplace. I don't know where the hell it would be written. But the Democrats still think those rules hold. Yeah, they don't hold. As the Washington Post reported, the mutual contempt felt between Republicans, a.k.a. fascists, Democrats, and their star witness, Peter Strzok, was palpable from the very first question put to Strzok. His conduct, Strzok's, as the lead agent on FBI probes of Hillary Clinton and the Trump campaign, have been sharply criticized by internal Justice Department investigators. Gee. There's a surprise. The goblin, Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III, who is the chief law enforcement officer in the United States. Oh, God help us. Well, not God help us, but dog help. Somebody help us. The chief law enforcement officer in the United States has led the charge to get rid of people within all the different branches, sub-branches of the Justice Department who might believe in justice. So, yes, the joint hearing before these two committees was a veritable showcase of the chasm that now exists regarding the FBI. Republicans repeatedly bashing the FBI's leadership as having engaged in politically motivated investigations. Horseshit. But that plays for the dummies back home who these American fascists are hoping going to reelect them come this November, if the election. And they probably will. Don't get your hopes up, truthers. We live in the fascist, soon to be, sorry to overwork the word, but if you can find evidence to the contrary, I'd love to hear it. I've made that offer 50 times in the past 6-7 years. Never had anyone challenge it, and probably won't. Now, the attack led by the fascists was not just on the FBI, but also on Robert Mueller. Of course. Look, the Republican Party and every one of those devils that sat in there today, when it looked like Trump was going to get the nomination and after he got the nomination, every single one of those devils denounced Trump and said if he had a streak of decency, he would get the fuck out of the way and let a real Republican run in his place, not because they thought Trump was an asshole. They're all assholes. But because they thought Trump would be beaten badly by the evil Hillary Clinton. Now, what these members of Congress, of course, did not know was that Trump and Putin had worked out a deal where Putin's so-called intelligence services would penetrate our electoral system and our social media system to the point where in 3 or 4 key states, Trump would pick up enough votes to give him the electoral college votes from those states. So even though Hillary won the election by 3 to 4 million votes, it didn't matter. Trey Gowdy, who is chairman of the Oversight Committee, not the Judiciary Committee, but the Oversight Committee. He started the first fight when he asked Strzok how many individuals that he, Strzok, interviewed in the first week of the Russia probe in the summer of 2016. Strzok replied, quote, "I will not, based on direction of the FBI, answer that question, because it goes to matters which are related to the ongoing investigations being undertaken by the special counsel's office," end quote. Now, how many times have you heard a fascist sitting in the witness chair being questioned by Democrats who say the same thing, only with no basis in reality? They just make shit up. But I'm sorry, I can't answer that. How many times have you heard, well, I can't answer it because it's part of an ongoing investigation? 1,000? 10,000? But when there is truly an ongoing investigation, and this FBI agent says, I can't answer because it's an ongoing investigation, pieces of shit, like pointy head Trey Gowdy, tries to rip the flesh off of the witness for the folks back home. So Strzok said what he was required to say. He can't answer. And at that point, another one of these pieces of human waste, Bob Goodlatte, a Republican of Virginia, chairman of the other committee that was sitting there, House Judiciary Committee, this little prick interjected and threatened Strzok with a contempt citation if he didn't answer the fucking question. Goodlatte said, quote, Mr. Strzok, you are under subpoena and are required to answer that question. And then Goodlatte accused Strzok of, quote, turning justice on its head, end quote. God damn. I mean, when all this was going on, I was listening to it on Sirius XM in the car. And I was out in Atlanta traffic, which is like saying you were in the one way of the run of the bulls at, where do they run? Pamplona? In Spain. I mean, Atlanta traffic, oh, you live in L.A., big fucking deal. L.A. traffic, nothing, nothing. You live in Chicago, I don't want to hear about it. New York, oh, try Atlanta. So I'm out in this shit. I'm trying to get someplace. And I'm listening to the coverage on one of the public, like C-SPAN, only on the radio. I'm listening to this stuff. And you ever feel your blood pressure go up? You know, where you actually feel it, where you can feel all of a sudden, you know, you get a throbbing sense in your body. No, I'm not talking about sex. You get a throbbing sense in your body and your temperature goes up. And if you look in the rearview mirror, you see, oh my God, why are my cheeks so red? That's what happened to me today. Listening to this stuff, listening to these fascists. Do you remember, it wasn't that long ago, when if anybody said anything negative about the FBI or the Justice Department, these demonic Republicans would lose their shit right there. What are you doing? That's the FBI. Remember that? Not anymore. So as to be expected, as the American Fascist Party, each member in turn tried to berate Strzok over his work on the investigations into Trump's work with Putin and Hillary's non-existent bullshit with her computer or her email. Now, we can say what we like about Hillary, but like I've said before, this woman is the most investigated human being in America. And how much jail time has she served? How many crimes has she been accused of committing? And they won't let up. And you know why they won't? Because they're good Christian men, white men. And there's nothing like a good Christian fascist white man. Especially where it concerns going after a woman. Because women are bitches and evil. We know that. Jesus Christ. Steve Cohen, Democrat of Tennessee, described Strzok as an injured survivor. No shit. Democrats tried to defend him through a series of unsuccessful objections with that little prick who was running the whole show. The Democrats weren't going to get anything. And their attempts, Democrats' attempts to let the guy answer, which is something that Jim Jordan, that arrogant fuck Jim Jordan. What's your name? What's your address? How old are you? Where did you go? What is tomorrow? Today? Yesterday? Jim Jordan, when the American Fascist Party takes over, Jim Jordan will be the chief interrogator in the basement of the Pentagon or someplace, and after 5 minutes, he'll say, you, door one! That's where you go to be executed. That's Jim Jordan. I mean, you can smell the stink of fascism on that prick all the way through the television transmission. Where was I? For the most part, Strzok just sat there listening at the witness table. I got to give him credit. A couple of times, I felt like he was going to leap across the table and grab one of those fuckers around the throat and not let go. I would have. If I were put under that kind of pressure by a whole raft of assholes, who are trying to destroy my country and the institutions that we've spent 200 plus years trying to live up to? No, I'm sorry. I wouldn't sit there and hold up a picture, as happened today in the hearing, of people that Mueller has either gotten a guilty plea from or who has indicted. No, I wouldn't hold up a picture. I would leap out of that fucking witness chair, push those camera people aside, and grab the nearest fascist fucker I could find. So I got to give Strzok credit. I don't know how he does it. Maybe that's part of your FBI training, your agent training. Anyway, Steve Cohen, who described Strzok as an injured survivor, Cohen said this to Peter Strzok. If I could give you a Purple Heart, I would. You deserve one. It's astonishing to me that you would be put on trial as you are being put on trial today. Now, keep in mind that Strzok's position. He was a deputy assistant director at the FBI, which means, really, he had very little power. These titles are handed out. A deputy assistant director in the past has meant that when the assistant director wanted his coffee freshened, you'd run down to the commissary and get it. I mean, these guys don't, and women don't have that much power. But he was the deputy assistant director of the FBI who oversaw counterintelligence cases. And he was removed from the Trump probe by Mueller in July 2017. Why? Because that's when those text messages were discovered between Strzok and his paramour, Lisa Page, in which they repeatedly identified Trump for what he was, a filthy fucking liar who would destroy the United States if elected. That was their opinion. Oh, my goodness! But they did it on company time, so to speak. So Mueller, being right now one of only a handful of people in the entire U.S. power or government structure who has any goddamn decency at all, Mueller removed him. And of course, the filthy fascists use that as another one of their arguments. Oh, you were removed, huh? Yeah, you dumb shits. He was removed in the interest of fairness. Even though he was expressing, he and his woman friend were expressing their contempt, their sickening contempt of this prick who now is president, which they have a right to do. It didn't matter. Mueller doesn't even want the appearance of a bias. So off he went. Back in December, he and Lisa Page, the Washington Post reported, were under investigation by the Inspector General, the FBI's Inspector General, over their texts back and forth. Ms. Page, Lisa Page, left the FBI earlier this year. Strzok is the focus of an internal investigation that could lead to his firing, but he's still technically an employee of the FBI. Strzok, in part of his testimony, said this: I testified today with significant regret, recognizing that my texts have created confusion and caused pain for people I love, his wife and his kids. Certain private messages of mine have provided ammunition for misguided attacks against the FBI, an institution I love deeply and have served proudly for more than 20 years, end quote. He added, Not once in my 26 years of defending my nation did my personal impact, or did my personal opinions impact any official action I took. There is simply no evidence of bias in my professional actions. There doesn't have to be, Agent Strzok. All there has to be is one of these lunatic fuckers in the American Fascist Party thinking there might be evidence of bias. And that's all they need to know. And then Strzok said something that I just find incredibly true. Somehow it should be expanded and put on a huge plaque and stuck in the halls of Congress someplace. Here's what he said, quote, "Today's hearing is just another victory notch in Vladimir Putin's belt and another milestone in our enemy's campaign to tear America apart. It is profoundly painful to watch, and even worse, to be a part of it." End quote. After all the efforts, and there were thousands of efforts, some of which I did not agree with, after all the efforts to make a clear, very visible separation between capitalism and communism, between the United States and the Soviet Union. Hundreds of thousands of people died to keep that separation extant. But in all that time, I never once, I couldn't, I mean, I wasn't programmed to think that the time would come, as it has now, when a leader, a fascist leader of Russia, would have this much power and control over our political process. I didn't think it was possible. But here it is. And every one of these fascist little pricks who say they're Republican, what a joke. Every one of them, as Peter Strzok said, it's all just another victory notch in Vladimir Putin's belt and another milestone in our enemy's campaign to tear this country apart. And it is succeeding. It is succeeding. Now, in one of the exchanges, email exchanges between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page from 2016, Lisa Page wrote, quote, "He's not ever going to become president, right? Right?" To which Peter Strzok answered, "No, no, he won't. We'll stop it." Whoa, what are they going to do? Shoot him? "No, we'll stop it." "Oh, well, there's your evidence right there." And one of the committee members on the Democratic side used email after email after email from Republicans talking about, you know, before Trump got the nomination, talking about how we can't have this clown, this idiot, this unqualified man to be our nominee. We can't have him be president. Anybody, we got to stop him. We got to stop him. On and fucking on. Those emails were read into the record by one of the Democrats at this circle jerk today. We'll stop it. How many times have you said something just totally off the wall, like, The Braves are playing the Phillies tonight. Oh, God, the Phillies have a much better record than the Braves. They're going to beat our asses. No, they won't. We'll stop it. How are we going to stop it? We'll be up in the stands cheering and doing that tomahawk racist shit. But they're not going. No, they're not going to win. We'll stop it. What are you going to do? Run out on the baseball field with a hatchet and start chopping people up so that the Phillies don't win? Madness. Strzok said that that comment, no, he won't, we'll stop it, that comment didn't reflect any desire on his part to influence an investigation. How the fuck could it? I mean, the FBI is not one person. It's not 1,000. It's not 10,000. It's not 100,000. How in the hell, and what is it, what was Peter Strzok's position? Deputy assistant something something. Strzok said that his comment did not reflect any desire to influence an investigation. At the time, he said, he was upset over how Trump had attacked the family of a war hero whose son had been killed defending this fucking country. A reference to Khizr Khan, remember him? Who spoke at the Democratic National Convention. Strzok said, quote, the text was in response to a series of events that included then-candidate Trump insulting the immigrant family of a fallen war hero, and my presumption, based on that horrible, disgusting behavior, that the American population would not elect somebody demonstrating that behavior to be president of the United States, end quote. Well, guess what, Peter? Somehow, you haven't been paying attention. People who think they're voting Republican in this country, people who think that they're doing God's will, people who think that they're Christians, they don't give a fuck about this country. They don't give a fuck about their families. I don't care what they say. They're racist, bigoted, filthy right-wingers. At one point in the hearing, Strzok, who got, like I said, he got pissed off and combative at times as he had to defend himself. But he conceded in the testimony today that he, his word, detested Trump. Well, fuck yes! If you're an FBI agent, if you're a gas station attendant, if you do a podcast, if you sweep fucking floors, if you're a nuclear scientist, and you detest Trump, that means one thing. You're sane. Some of the most outrageous exchanges at the hearing today were between Strzok and this pointy-headed fucker from South Carolina, Trey Gowdy. At one point, Strzok accused Gowdy of twisting his words, which he was doing. And Strzok said, quote, I don't appreciate what was originally said being changed, end quote. And Gowdy shot back, I don't give a damn what you appreciate, Agent Strzok. I don't appreciate an FBI agent. Excuse me. With an unprecedented level of animus working on two major investigations in 2016. Oh, fuck you, Trey Gowdy. Jesus, God. Gowdy says he's leaving government at the end of his term. He's going to go into private practice. In other words, the corruption in the fascist party ensconced in the U.S. House of Representatives is not paying Gowdy what he feels he should be getting. So he'll get into the private sector where the payoffs and the graft and the vigorish is so much better. But in the meantime, Trey Gowdy has to conduct himself as if he gave a shit about this country or justice. neither of which means anything to him at all. Strzok insisted that his superiors and colleagues at the FBI, quote, would not tolerate any improper behavior in me any more than I would tolerate it in them. That is who we are as the FBI, at the FBI, and the suggestion that I, in some dark chamber somewhere in the FBI, would somehow cast aside all of these procedures, all of these safeguards, and somehow be able to do this is astounding to me, end quote, as it would be to anyone who was not determined to destroy this country, which is what every single fascist, aka Republican, is doing. Strzok warned lawmakers that attacks on the FBI's credibility hurt the country. He said, quote, the proposition that is going on and might occur anywhere in the FBI deeply corrodes what the FBI is in American society. It corrodes the effectiveness of their mission, and it is deeply destructive. We'll take a break. Be back momentarily. Two issues I want to address today, this hearing today, and also what this bumbling fucking, what did he say today? He called himself a very stable genius again on a world stage. Boy, it's just exhausting to talk about this stuff. It's exhausting to listen to it, you know, as it's happening. But onward. Now, when the Inspector General conducted his investigation of all this shit, there was no evidence anywhere that decisions were made by members of the FBI that displayed a political bias in their work. Not by Lisa Page, not by Peter Strzok or others at the FBI. However, the Inspector General issued a report that was critical of these two agents' conduct, saying that their texts back and forth exhibited a willingness to take action to prevent Trump from becoming president. I wonder how that was supposed to come about. Short of kidnapping and hiding him in a basement somewhere, what the hell are they talking about? How could these two agents take official action to prevent Trump from becoming president? Really incredible stuff, y'all. Now, Trump and his cadre of brown shirts, the fascists in the House and the Senate, have accused Peter Strzok and Lisa Page of steering the Clinton probe away from criminal charges and pushing the FBI, all 130,000 of them, to aggressively investigate Trump advisors through electronic surveillance and confidential informants, all of which is bullshit. And these filthy fascists that sit in judgment, they know it's bullshit. But these are Russian agents, Russian operatives. Oh, that sounds a little weird, doesn't it? I know it sounds weird to me. Do you have a better explanation? These scum who support Trump now in the Congress, these are the same shit asses who, when it looked like Trump was going to get the nomination, they were all running around with their hair and their asses on fire, trying to find somebody, anybody, don't let Trump die. We hate him. He's awful. But now they're his biggest supporters. What happened? Well, Trump got to, so far, appoint two or nominate two Supreme Court justices who are very, very, very fascist Christian. And Trump has stirred up so much shit in this country now that these fascist party members are hoping and counting on enough shit stirred up so that they can work their way through the shit and get reelected. I'm a Trump supporter. You're a Trump supporter. Trump himself has repeatedly belittled Strzok publicly, which is Trump, what Trump does. Trump is just the most vicious human fucking being I have ever seen in politics or business. No, and I'm not naive, honest to God. I know there's some vicious people, especially in the construction on his level, the developer stage. I know there are vicious bastards who have operated in the shadows of the U.S. government. But I will guarantee you that in my lifetime, in my political awareness lifetime, which spans maybe half a century, I've never seen a piece of shit like Trump be able to stir up so much trouble in this country. Last Saturday, the stable genius tweeted, quote, "The rigged witch hunt, originally headed by FBI lover boy Peter S. for 1 year, and now 13 angry Democrats. It's a Democrat con job." It's a Democrat con job. I wonder what is waiting for us on the other side of this horrible chapter in the political life of the United States. I realize we've gone through some real horror in this country. Slavery, genocide, people so hungry they had to eat dirt or their house pets, the Great Depression, Dust Bowl, wars, the slaughter of 600,000 Americans by other Americans, presidents assassinated. Yeah. Which, under normal circumstances, would probably lead somebody to think, somebody like me, to think, well, we've been through worse. We'll get through this. That's where I don't agree. I don't think we have ever had a head of state whose control is the leader of a country that has been our mortal sworn enemy for 70 years. Now, I said this the other night. Am I trying to stir up Cold War bullshit? No. Facts are facts, though. You take a look at how the Soviet Union operated with all the hundreds of millions of people that were, they thought, permanently behind the so-called Iron Curtain. When you remember the division in Berlin, East Berlin, West Berlin, And of course, Berlin itself sat in the eastern sector of Germany that was separated after World War II. East Berlin, West Berlin. East Berlin, run by the Stasi, the German secret police that made the KGB look like a bunch of fucking amateurs. And the West Berlin, run by the United States, France, and Great Britain. You've seen the actual film footage, and you've seen it depicted in movies. People who were trying to escape from the east to the west, trying to get over that wall, trying to get through that dead zone, death zone, the barbed wire, everything to get to the wall and to climb up, to get to the fucking wall, the wall, like what Trump wants to build on our southern border. To get out of East Germany, to go someplace where they had at least a chance of freedom. And how the Stasi and the German, East German military would just fucking shoot them in the back, drag them away, stomp their corpses. That is the Russian attitude ever since then. Putin hates America. No, he does. He hates the Western alliance. He hates Western Europe. And I never thought I would come to this conclusion. But the reason Putin hates everything that is not fascistic is because he can see the difference between what the Soviet Union did to the Russian people and what the Russian government, after the Soviet Union collapsed, did to the Russian people. And there's some part of Putin, although I think he's like Trump and like all these Christian leaders in this country, he's totally amoral. Total sociopath. Doesn't give a fuck about anything or anybody. But I think Putin took a look over the years. How many times has he been declared president or leader of his fucked up country? And he took a look, and it was just, you know, his fortune. Putin is allegedly one of the richest men on earth now, right up there with the Gates, Bill and Melissa Gates, and some of these Melinda Gates, some of these other multi billionaires. So Putin's fine, and he knows that he will be the leader of Russia as long as he wants to be, just like Trump would like to be the leader of this dying country as long as he wanted to be. But Putin has been carrying a grudge ever since he was in the KGB. And his job was to expose CIA agents. Yeah, it was good spy, bad spy shit, you know. Remember Mad Magazine? And Putin's job was to expose these people and terminate them with extreme prejudice. That was Putin's job. I don't know if he actually pulled the trigger on some of these hits, but his division in the KGB, that's what they did. And now he is Donald Trump's idol. And part of the reason he is because Trump is a sick fucking man. And all I can say about Trump, so that the NSA who monitors our program, all I can say about Trump is, you filthy fucker, keep eating those cheeseburgers. As a matter of fact, I understand that the double and triple cheeseburgers at Whopper Burger, whatever the hell it's called, Burger King, are the best. Keep eating them, asshole. Let's take a break, Kathy. little bit more on the Strzok hearing today. And then I'll try to move on. Stay with me. Now, I want to go back over, some of this will be redundant, but what the Washington Post calls the seven key moments from Peter Strzok's hearing today, the fiery moments from the hearing. Now, the first one already mentioned, that was the contempt threat. After the opening statements, this little prick, Trey Gowdy, lobbed his first question at Strzok. How many people did Strzok interview during the first 8 days of the FBI's Russia investigation between July 31st and August 8th? And Strzok, as he said in his opening statement, he'd been advised by the FBI's lawyers that he was not to address specifics of what is still an ongoing investigation. And this filth on the committee, the fascist filth, quickly objected and threatened to hold Strzok in contempt. And Democrats pointed out the obvious, that you don't ask questions like this that are considered classified about an ongoing investigation in an open public hearing. You go into executive session. But that's not what this was about. This was about embarrassing Strzok. This was about making points with the fuckers back home so they could get reelected. This is another blowjob to Donald Trump. Had nothing to do with justice or real inquiry. Nothing. Strzok said he didn't have to answer the question because, despite being subpoenaed by the committee, he had previously said he would speak voluntarily. Now, he said he would come before this filthy bunch of fascists and answer their questions. But they knew, the fascists knew, oh, yeah, but that gives you wiggle room. We're going to put you under subpoena, so you have to answer. Strzok said, Mr. Chairman, I do not believe I am here under subpoena. I believe I am here voluntarily. Based on that, I will not answer that question. Democrats argued that a witness like Strzok would not be expected to publicly disclose sensitive information, like, oh, for example, a blueprint of a hydrogen bomb. And another Democrat suggested they just adjourn the hearing. That didn't go very far. The House Judiciary Committee Chairman Robert Goodlatte finally said that Strzok would be recalled to the committee after the day's hearings so that it could determine whether to hold him in contempt. I guess it was Goodlatte. All these people look like fascists. They look like Nazis. They look like the people in the dock at Nuremberg. Number two of these seven moments, Strzok's angry retort, quote, it is deeply destructive. After more than 20 minutes of maneuvering and posturing following this subpoena bullshit, Trey Gowdy ended his interrogation of Strzok, and Strzok was given the floor to respond. In a minutes-long retort, he called Gowdy's and his Republican allies' allegations of bias and improper actions, quote, deeply destructive, end quote. He said that his text messages critical of Trump shortly after the investigation began were in response to Trump's behavior on the campaign trail. Trump is a fucking gangster. Anybody knows that. You've made comments. I've made comments. Strzok made comments. Page made comments. What are we supposed to do when we see a useless human being like Trump lying, bullshitting, womanizing his way into the presidency with the help of the head of a fascist foreign government? What the fuck are we supposed to do? Be polite? Never. Treat the other side like they're interested in justice in the American way? Oh, give me a fucking break. Strzok said in that couple of minutes he had after pointy head Trey Gowdy made his little shitty opening statement, Strzok said, "My presumption was based on that horrible, disgusting behavior that the American population would not elect somebody demonstrating that behavior to be president of the United States. It was in no way, unequivocally, any suggestion that me, the FBI, would take any action whatsoever to improperly impact the electoral process for any candidate. So I take great offense." And of course, he was interrupted. Strzok concluded that accusation against him and the line of question by saying what was happening in that room today, quote, deeply corrodes what the FBI is in American society, the effectiveness of their mission, and it is deeply destructive, end quote. And some of the witnesses in the room, some of the people, spectators in the room applauded. Number three, a perjury accusation and a very personal attack. Representative Louis Gohmert, who should be put in a cage somewhere and fucking buried, not underground. I certainly don't want anything bad to happen to him. But Louis Gohmert seized on Strzok's contention that Strzok's text between Strzok and Lisa Page didn't demonstrate personal bias, and said that argument amounted to him lying, amounted to Strzok lying. Oh, my fucking word. Pot, meat, kettle. Any fascist, whether it's the president or this lineup of shitheads who accuse somebody else of lying? Ah! When Democrats noted that Gohmert was basically accusing Strzok in that moment of committing perjury, Gohmert didn't give a fuck. Gohmert is one of the most creepy fuckers I have ever seen in Congress. I mean, I can come up with these superlatives over and over if the superlatives are what they are. But Gohmert, with that misshapen head of his and that those little rat eyes, I mean, he's just so fucking weird. And that name, who names their kid Louis Gohmert? Who does that? Then he got personal with Strzok. This is what that shithead said. Quote, "When I see you looking with a little smirk, I wonder how many times did you look so innocently into your wife's eyes and lie about Lisa Page?" Yeah. And the hearing room at that point erupted. Some of the people were shouting insane asylum. Somebody else was asserting that Gohmert needed medication. No, he doesn't need medication. In response, Strzok acknowledged hurting someone he described as his family member, which would be his wife. Now, according to the Post, one of the subplots has been the Democrats' push to release the transcript of Strzok's previously closed-door testimony. The Democrats are arguing, as so often happens, that Strzok's closed-door testimony has been selectively leaked, which these filthy fascists do, and designed to impugn what he's saying. Because remember, they don't give a shit about Strzok. They don't give a shit about Lisa Page. Every one of those fuckers has or is now cheating on their wives. They don't. These are good Christian men. They're good fucking hypocrites. They don't care about that. They're after Mueller. And if they can chip and chisel away at the foundation down here where some of the investigative process originated, why, then the whole house will collapse. So they think. So at one point early in the hearing, Representative David Cicilline, he's a Democrat of Rhode Island, said that he intended to release the transcript himself and asked whether there was any good reason he couldn't. And Chairman Goodlatte stressed that it was the committee's practice and that there was an agreement to keep closed-door hearings private while an investigation is ongoing. What? Cicilline responded to that by saying, quote, "We intend to release this transcript unless someone present or unless someone presents some rule that prevents us from doing it. And we'll give you until 5 this afternoon to present that. Otherwise, we intend to release the transcript," end quote. Well, Democrats are finding their spines. It's about fucking time. Don't roll over and take this shit from these fascist little wimps like Louie Gohmert or the pointy-headed asshole from South Carolina or any of these people, the Freedom Caucus. Fight! And eventually, Cicilline eventually, Representative David Cicilline, the Democrat, got some backup from Republican fascist Mark Meadows, who happens to be the head of the House Freedom Caucus. Now, it's worth noting, I'm sure you caught this, that Goodlatte's justification for not releasing the transcript because the committee's investigation is ongoing, that's almost fucking word for word what Strzok had just said for not answering questions about about the special counsel's Russia probe. But in the latter case there, apparently the fascists don't think that it applies. They make the rules. This is what it's like when you live in a country that is governed by all three branches of government and the two subdivisions in the legislative branch, all four dominated by fascists. This is what it is. You will answer my question. I fucking don't have to answer yours. And then, and this is Daryl Issa. If ever there was a member of Congress who Daryl Issa is just his fucking name hits my gag reflex. This is a guy who belongs in prison. It goes way back to when he was running a business that I think sold those anti-theft devices to attach to your steering wheel. And Issa, I forget the case, but Issa escaped by the skin on his balls from not going to prison. And then he got elected. And I think he's made it clear that he's had enough. So Daryl Issa took his 5 minutes to force Strzok to read some of the texts that he sent to Lisa Page, including ones that used vulgarities. While reading one in which he used the word fuck while talking about Trump, struck pause and asked, how should I handle this? You know, saying the F word before the Christians in that room. How should I handle this? Then Issa asked him to read it again. Strzok said, sir, was that not intelligible? You just want to hear fuck for me to repeat it. Please, Issa said. Okay, sir, sure, happy to indulge you. And he read it again. Number six, one of the Democrats on the committee, Steve Cohen, I mentioned this earlier, said that Strzok should get a Purple Heart. Cohen said when he began his questioning, Mr. Strzok, if I could give you a Purple Heart, I would. Now, to recap, Strzok was removed from the Mueller investigation and harshly criticized by an inspector general. It's generally agreed that his text messages were problematic, regardless of if you think this reflects corruption and bias in all law enforcement or just the Mueller probe, or if you don't think it represents corruption or bias at all. I don't. I think it represents two people's opinions. And the fact that they were boinking each other, who the fuck's business is it regarding that? Except for the people involved. If there are husbands and wives involved, yeah, it involves them. But these pieces of shit like Daryl Issa? Read your text. Include the F word? Read your text, boy. Have you got any where you talk about grabbing her by the pussy, maybe? Like our dear leader? Eh? And the last one, seven. During his opening statement, House Oversight Committee ranking Democrat Elijah Cummings, Maryland, said that Republicans were trying to shut down a fruitful investigation. Gowdy had, right before that, had asserted during his opening statement that Mueller should, quote, finish it the hell up. Ooh, you used the hell word. Oh, my goodness, Mr. Gowdy. Elijah Cummings noted the guilty pleas that Robert Mueller had obtained already, and he brought visual aids to drive home the point. Cummins said this, quote, let me underscore, these are not allegations, these are admissions. And he's holding up these big pictures of the faces of the people who had already pled guilty. Someone on the committee on the fascist side objected, but the visual aids were allowed to stay. Of course they objected. Later on, Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, Democrat of Texas, displayed a similar visual holding up former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort's just-released mugshot. Now, Manafort hasn't pled guilty, like the others. But he got moved from a mafia-style prison cell to where the common folk have to await trial for witness tampering. Now, let me share something with you that Peter Waldman wrote for the Post. He said, there are times when you watch what's happening in American politics and you come to believe you've fallen through the rabbit hole to a place where everything is upside down. Today was one of those times as FBI agent Peter Strzok testified in a public hearing before the House Judiciary Committee. the latest chapter in the saga of Republican attempts to prove that any and all investigation into Russia's attempt to manipulate the election and the Trump campaign's eager cooperation with that effort is a witch hunt. As you know, Strzok was one of the key agents involved in investigating Russian interference. And in 2017, he was assigned to Robert Mueller's special counsel Robert Mueller's inquiry into the Russian scandal. However, the texts went back and forth between Strzok and Lisa Page. And to those and to Republicans, those text messages are the smoking gun that proves Trump is absolutely blameless. He's just a great American leader. And the entire investigation into him was tainted. That's their argument. And that's going to play well with the dumb shits back in Wisconsin or Ohio or Pennsylvania or Kentucky or wherever these dumb shits reside. That's going to play real well. But Paul Waldman says there's one very important fact that we have to keep in mind, one that Strzok made in his prepared statement today. This is what Strzok said. Quote, in the summer of 2016, I was one of a handful of people who knew the details of Russian election interference and its possible connections with members of the Trump campaign. This information had the potential to derail and quite possibly defeat Mr. Trump. But the thought of exposing that information never crossed my mind. End quote. Now, that's the core of what makes this American Fascist Party effort to discredit the Russia investigation so fucking insane. As Waldman writes, they want us to believe there was an FBI conspiracy to prevent Trump from being elected president. And what did that conspiracy do? First, it mounted a cautious investigation of what nearly everyone now acknowledges was a comprehensive effort by Russia to help Trump get elected, an effort that people on the Trump campaign and even in Trump's own family tried to cooperate with. But then it kept that investigation completely secret from the public, lest news of it affect the outcome of the investigation in any way. You'll notice that Republicans have not been able to produce any evidence that Strzok or anyone else took any official action that was biased, unfair, or inappropriate in their investigation of Russian interference in the Trump campaign. Not a bit. It's all been these wild-ass, insane accusations, innuendo, and bullshit. But fascists wrote the book on that stuff. German fascists, they wrote the book on it. And the American fascists have taken that book, studied it, and are actually adding new chapters. Waldman goes on, even if you were to set aside the fact that the director of the FBI quite possibly threw the election to Trump, when he violated FBI protocols and announced 11 days before the election that the Bureau was reopening the investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails, the idea that the Bureau attempted to hinder Trump's election isn't just unsupported by any evidence, it's contradicted by everything they did. They being the FBI. And that's what you have to keep in mind as you watch these ludicrous hearings and everything else the Republicans do with regard to this issue. They've proven that Strzok didn't think highly of Trump. Fair enough. We should note, however, that while we have seen Strzok's private text messages because they were released by the Justice Department, we have no idea what other FBI agents were texting each other, say, about Hillary Clinton. We do know, on the other hand, that as one report said just before the election, quote, deep antipathy to Hillary Clinton exists within the FBI, multiple bureau sources have told The Guardian, spurring a rapid series of leaks damaging to her campaign just days before the election, end quote. As one agent put it at the time, quote, the FBI is Trump land, end quote. Where, gentle truth seeker, is the investigation into that? Waldman goes on, so that's an example in which FBI agents actually did things to help Trump during the election. But that's not what Republicans are investigating, which might suggest, and hold on while I blow your mind, it might suggest that the Republicans aren't actually concerned broadly with the integrity of the FBI's investigations. That's what our buddy Mike Malloy has been saying for how goddamn long. They don't give a shit about justice, fairness, democratic small d principles, or their own fucking Christianity. They don't care anything about it. Waldman goes on, so today we saw, for instance, Trey Gowdy badgering Strzok about the meaning of individual words in his late-night text message to his girlfriend, using Gowdy's patented prosecutorial technique of shouting a question at a witness, and then when the witness begins to answer, interrupting and shouting a different question at a louder volume. Unsurprisingly, the hearing quickly devolved into a circus with members yelling at each other, overlapping points of order, and a general sense of chaos. If you watched or listened to any of this shit today, you'll know what Waldman is talking about. Just unbelievable. I was waiting for, and I have to be honest, hoping that there would be fistfights. I really was. At one point, when he was finally allowed to give a complete answer to a question, Strzok somewhat angrily explained why not only didn't he do anything to unfairly twist the investigation into Russian meddling, he couldn't have, even if he wanted to. He began by referencing a text he sent after Trump had started a fight with a Gold Star family. One of the low points of the campaign. And he predicted that Trump would lose. This is what Strzok wrote. This is what Strzok said in the testimony today. He said, quote, you need to understand that was written late at night, off the cuff, and it was in response to a series of events that included then-candidate Trump insulting the immigrant family of a fallen war hero. And my presumption, based on that horrible, disgusting behavior, that the American population would not elect someone demonstrating that behavior to be president of the United States. It was in no way, unequivocally, any suggestion that me, the FBI, would take any action whatsoever to improperly impact the electoral process for any candidate. I can assure you, Mr. Chairman, at no time in any of those texts did those personal beliefs ever enter into the realm of any action I took. Furthermore, this isn't just me sitting here telling you. You don't have to take my word for it. At every step, every investigative decision, there are multiple layers of people above me. The assistant director, executive assistant director, deputy director, director of the FBI, and multiple layers of people below me. Section chiefs, supervisors, unit chiefs, case agents, analysts. All of whom were involved in all of these decisions. They would not tolerate any improper behavior in me any more than I would tolerate it in them. That is who we are at the FBI. And the suggestion that I, in some dark chamber somewhere in the FBI, would somehow cast aside all of these procedures, all of these safeguards, and somehow be able to do this is astounding to me. It simply couldn't happen. And the proposition that that is going on, that it might occur anywhere in the FBI, deeply corrodes what the FBI is in American society, the effectiveness of their mission, and it is deeply destructive. End quote. Now, as Waldman writes, you don't have to like Peter Strzok or James Comey or Robert Mueller or anyone else involved in these various investigations, but you have to ask, and you have to keep asking, what do Republicans think the FBI actually did to effectuate this anti-Trump conspiracy they say existed to deny him the presidency? What did they do? Because the facts here on planet Earth show that they did what they were supposed to do. They began an investigation into this profound threat to American democracy, but they kept quiet about it so it wouldn't affect the election. Especially in contrast to how Clinton was treated, that was either an extraordinary gift to Trump or it was the FBI doing their jobs precisely how they should have. But it can't be anything else. Peter Waldman at the Washington Post. Let's take a break, Kathy, if you don't mind. Oh, my God. At this hour, and it is, it's about midnight in the UK, because it's 6:30 here, Eastern Time. Trump is in London. They had a state dinner tonight. State. I hope they gave him 5 or 10 cheeseburgers. Asked about mass demonstrations that occurred on this asshole's first trip to the mother country, Trump said before he left the NATO conference earlier today, he said, quote, "I think they like me a lot in the UK. I think they agree with me. I'm very strong on immigration. I'm going to a pretty hot spot right now with a lot of resignations." Two people in Theresa May's cabinet have resigned because of the chaos the Russians caused there about the Brexit issue, getting out of the European Union. And as it's reported by news agencies, Air Force One landed at London Stansted Airport earlier today. Theresa May's government is beset by division. Her compromise plan to exit the European Union was being excoriated by critics, and rebels in her Conservative Party were threatening a no-confidence vote. If you add to that the mix that England lost to Croatia in the World Cup semifinals last night, the nation, England, is suffering from a collective hangover and not the good kind. If there is a good kind. And meanwhile, out in the quiet English countryside, 100 counterterrorism investigators have concluded that a middle-aged British woman was killed by a dose of Soviet nerve agent, the same batch of chemical weapon that Theresa May charged was deployed on English soil by Russians, likely with Putin's knowledge. Trump is scheduled to meet Putin on Monday in Helsinki. I wonder if Putin has a little surprise, maybe a little vial of clear liquid to give to Mr. Trump, you know, as a token of Putin's appreciation. A little tiny bottle, maybe of Russian rose nectar. What do you think? Trump's aides have a very, very legitimate worry, and that is that when Trump is made aware of or sees these demonstrations, as he is going to, that he will lash out open his mouth and stick his feet in, like he always insult the people whose country he's in, as he always does. So great care has been taken to shield this miserable son of a bitch from the demonstrations. When Trump said earlier in the day that the British people liked him a lot, the reporters at the news conference in Brussels broke out laughing. Not maybe one or two Americans. Everybody in the room started laughing. And, of course, Trump wasn't joking. Trump has taken, if you can accept this, I can't. Trump has taken particular interest in the political turmoil in London in recent days. The only way I would accept that statement as being factual is that Trump is a disruption junkie. He's a chaos eater and causer. He's not a leader. He's a fucking gangster. But I digress. Before his departure for Europe, Trump was asked whether he thought Theresa May should continue as the prime minister. He shrugged and said, "That's up to the people." Actually, it's not, you dumb shit. They have a parliamentary system there. Oh, never mind. He added that he had, quote, always liked, end quote, Boris Johnson, former mayor of London, who wound up the foreign minister in Theresa May's government. I think he was a foreign minister, and he was one who resigned. Boris Johnson is, of course, Trump would like him. Of course. Boris Johnson said that Theresa May's Brexit plans are a shambles that will turn Britain into a colony of Europe. Which may be true. Trump was initially invited to a regal state visit last year by Theresa May to meet the Queen, which he's going to do this time. Oh, dear fucking God, you're kidding me. That invite has been downgraded to a working visit. Trump and his wife will get an audience with Queen Elizabeth at Windsor Castle. Will consist an hour with her for tea. So tonight, Trump will see some of his friends at an exclusive dinner at Blenheim Palace, including Christopher Ruddy, the CEO of Newsmax. There will be military bands and Scottish bagpipes. A fellow in global politics at the London School of Economics, a guy named Brian Klass, said that as far as the visit is concerned, Theresa May is walking a tightrope just by having this piece of shit in her country on an official visit. Klass said, quote, "She's in a catch-22 with Trump. Her political base and the broader British public do not like Donald Trump. She also wants to show that in a post-Brexit world, Britain can still be a major player, and Trump is central to that narrative." Really? But, Brian Klass warned, quote, "If she comes out of this with another photo of her holding Donald Trump's hand, that may not play well with people who find Donald Trump to be toxic." End quote. And the director of Chatham House, the London think tank, said that for Theresa May and the whole staff at number 10 Downing Street, the Trump visit was, quote, "something to be survived rather than enjoyed." And organizers of Britain's nationwide protests are committed to staging some of the largest demonstrations since 2003, when hundreds of thousands of people hit the streets to oppose the war in Iraq. Well, we did the same thing in this country. Now, you've probably heard that people who find Trump to be as disgusting as any fascist pig, they inflated a giant balloon that depicts Trump as a big orange baby with a diaper on, floating over London. That's pretty cool. Organizers say that from the moment Trump lands on British soil to the moment he leaves, he will be met by, quote, a carnival of resistance. The giant Trump baby balloon will fly over Parliament Square. Protesters plan to shout at Trump, places he will be visiting, Winfield House, Blenheim Palace, Chequers, Windsor Castle, and his Trump Turnberry Golf Resort in Scotland. Others will assemble in towns and cities up and down the country. Oh, I think they like me in England. A leading member of the opposition Labour Party in the UK, who will give a speech at tomorrow's rally in London against this pig, his name is David Lammy. He said, quote, I'm marching because of the disdain that Trump has shown for Britain and because of his disgraceful treatment of minorities in the United States. He added, whenever London experiences a tragedy, it's also the case that Trump licks his lips and tweets. End quote. One of the organizers of the Stop Trump Coalition said, quote, Donald Trump will very much hear us and see us. End quote. And also planned is a Keep Trump Awake protest outside the U.S. ambassador's London residence, where Trump and Melania will spend Thursday night tonight. They encourage people to bring pots, drums, and vuvuzelas. Those are the, I think those are those great big long horns. They look a little bit like didgeridoos, only they're made out of red plastic. They're very popular. They used to be. I think they've been banned because people started hitting each other with them. But they were very popular at soccer games. Oh, I love that. One of the organizers said the protests, quote, were not simply about Donald Trump. The man is actually an expression of opposition to the policies and politics he represents, which has echoes across Europe and in the UK as well. But Trump the man, this organizer said, has also helped to, quote, galvanize a large cross-section of people across multiple issues, end quote. Now, we all have to be tuned to CNN tomorrow for sure, as early as you can, because the largest of the protests will take place Friday afternoon in London, where the streets are expected to be clogged with tens of thousands of people advocating for issues including migrant rights, women's rights, worker rights. And according to the Stop Trump Coalition Facebook page, they expect 60,000 plus people would attend. I will guarantee you it's going to be more than that. The mayor of London, Sadiq Khan. Woo! He's a Muslim! The mayor of London. As you can guess, a frequent critic of Trump. Said that the planned protests were not, quote, anti-American, far from it. End quote. But he said that the so-called special relationship between the U.S. and U.K. means, quote, speaking out when we think one side is not living up to the values we hold dear, end quote. It's very mildly put, Mayor Khan, very mildly. In the London Evening Standard newspaper, Khan wrote, quote, "The eyes of the world will be on London this week. It's an opportunity for our city to show our values, twinned with our world-renowned sense of humor." End quote. Now, as far as tomorrow night podcast, Bob Kincaid has graciously volunteered to fill in for us again because, and Kathy said I have permission to tell you, she is getting tomorrow morning a colonoscopy. It is not diagnostic. It's a screening. Kathy recently turned 50, and this is what you do. Now it's 45. This is what you do. If you have, I had one 2 weeks ago. Well, I could have said 45. I know. I had one 2 weeks ago just as a matter of, well, I was in the hospital and I have great insurance and they said, let's give him a colonoscopy too. But if you have not had one and you're 50 or 45 now or above, you need to do this. The procedure itself is nothing. They give you propofol. How do you pronounce it? Propofol, whatever. And you're instantly out and then you're instantly awake. It's the preparation that people don't like, including me. It is not pleasant. On the other hand, it's not painful. It's just messy. So because Kathy will have general anesthesia tomorrow for this colonoscopy, we just decided to take the night off. So Bob Kincaid, gracious, wonderful Bob Kincaid, will be filling in for us yet again. And then we'll be back Monday. But Kathy and I talked about this, whether or not it should even be mentioned. I mean, this is a family podcast. But what better place to talk about the necessity of having a colonoscopy than on this podcast? The thing about a colonoscopy, if they find precancerous lesions during the exam, they just snip them out. And therefore, they don't develop into cancerous lesions. So, that's the reason we won't be here tomorrow evening. That's it from me for now. Don't forget, tomorrow, dear God, don't forget to tune into CNN or probably MSNBC too for the coverage of the demonstrations against this horrible, horrible man. We'll see you Monday. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.